What's up, beautiful people? This is Ira McLilly here for another edition of What's the Deal with Dialysis, where we talk about issues around kidney dialysis and, you know, just the kidney dialysis industry. And today we're talking once again, Maurice Carlisle, who is our technician and the creator of this whole concept. And if you've been on here before, you know that Maurice is in Ohio and he has been a technician for years and found that there were some things in the system that he wasn't really, you know, really vibing on. So he wanted to, you know, share education, share issues. And so we're starting to have conversations. And today we're bringing back somebody that we talked to years ago, Mr. Al Fila. And right. He's got a story. And so since the last time I talked to you, Al, there's been a lot going on. So just to let the people know who you are, first of all, give us like kind of a brief history of who you are, where you're from. And then like just the first time, like when I met you, you had gotten a transplant, but you had told me about how you came to find out that you had kidney failure. And so give us that part and then we'll continue from there.
Okay, well, the way everything started for me, it's kind of like a street fairy tale meets Jesus Christ in the prison system, / three kidney transplants later, here we are, right? But it started out, I was a little rambunctious in the streets. I grew up in a place called the Inland Empire, like the Inland region of California. And, you know, I caught myself gang banging and drug dealing and the things that a lot of us kids do in poverty when we try to, you know, make a way for ourselves with no roadmap or no instructions or no father figure and things of that nature, right? So I ended up getting shot in my back. Shortly after, I started getting real sick, like always vomiting, having headaches, high temperatures and fevers. And at that time, I was 17 years old. So when I went to the doctor told me I needed to go on dialysis. So I never really went back to the doctor because I assumed in my young mind that dialysis was like a pill. So I was like, I got to go back up to the doctor, get this prescription. I need to, you know, do it, but when I get time, right? And so subsequently, like I said, I was having all of these issues, you know, with, you know, being a good guy at heart, but doing, you know, street things and being young, you know, without the father figure, I found myself in prison at 18. So when I went to prison is when I really kind of knew what dialysis was and got an understanding of it, because that's where I started dialysis inside of Chino Prison in 1990, October. So once I started dialysis, my first round with it was more or less like, it was like a whole change of lifestyle. You know, it was almost like I didn't want to believe it. I looked at it from like a vanity point of view, like I thought I was a pretty young dude, you know, and it's like, now y'all scarring my arms, you putting these tubes in my arm, now I got all these tracks on my arm, you know, and I didn't even have the answers to what was going on. And then my friends was asking me like, what's wrong with your arms? You got all this, you know, different things in your chest. Like, you know, it was more like a confusing type of situation because it was totally abnormal from what was my normal. And so just to move a little further, so I ended up doing like 4 years in prison on dialysis. And as time progressed, I started to look at dialysis like a win, because after the shock kind of wore off of like having these needles in my arm and needing a machine to stay alive and kind of feeling that anxiety every night kind of subsided, I started looking at it as a win because it got me out of prison every other day. Back in the 90s, they would take us to dialysis units because they didn't have them inside the prison at that point. So then I started meeting people, you know, a lot of good people, you know, like Maurice, like yourself, and they would just tell me like, do this. This is what you could do for your diet. You know, try to keep your salt down in the pool won't be so hard and you won't feel so fatigued, you know? And I just started learning, you know, that was like the start of my kind of accepting and learning more about it. And that was kind of like the beginning of my dialysis journey right there in a nutshell.
Great, man.
Number one, it's an amazing story. First of all, that you got shot and that you were in jail and, you know, just not having the information. And that's something that we come up against all the time as we have these conversations. And part of the drive here is because, you had no idea what was going on with you. Like, you had nobody telling you for a while, it seems like, right? And nobody around you knew what that was, right? And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do, is educate. So tell me about, you know, you're in jail, you're going through dialysis. Tell me about the journey to your first kidney transplant.
Okay, so what happened? I got out of jail June 25th, 1995. It was smack dab in the summer. I had been in jail since 1990, October 14th. And this is where the God part comes in. And I was just praying, because I was just like, at this point, I was more educated. You know, I had been working out in prison. I had got used to being on dialysis. And now I was actually looking forward to the transplant, because I had did, you know, some research, and I started finding out about the little procurement process and all the little entities that were involved, you know, as far as trying to get a transplant, how to get on the waiting list. In prison, while you're in prison, you can't get on the waiting list. So I felt like not only was I getting released from prison, I was getting released to the opportunity of actually being able to get on this list that I kept hearing about, right? So I got on the list, and it didn't seem like nothing was really happening. A year went by, another year went by, and I just kept praying. I just kept praying. At this time, I was going to church like really heavy, going to Bible studies on Wednesday night, churches on Sunday, staying in touch with my brothers during the week, and just staying faithful, you know, to the work. And I felt like the Spirit kept telling me, you're going to get a kidney, like, against all the odds. You know, you hear about the 7-year waiting list. You hear about people dying on dialysis. You hear about, you know, people becoming diabetic, or vice versa, diabetics becoming, you know, dialysis patients. Just all this stuff coming through the filter of my young mind. I was 25 at the time. But this is what happened. My wife was a dialysis technician. She was a dialysis technician. She just stopped maybe 7 years ago, and she started doing foster care. But she was a dialysis technician for like 25 years. And she was working at a hospital in San Bernardino, California, called St. Bernardine Medical Center. So it just so happened, this is how God lined everything up. It just so happened that it was a transplant. I don't know what they called it at the time, if it was like a transplant team. I know it was definitely a dialysis center, but they had her actually go upstairs to their transplant department. That's what it was, St. Bernardine's. And she just gave blood one day, and she didn't even tell me. She was just like, you know, they told me that I possibly could be a donor, but it's all about, you know, the blood and the antigens and how things match up and blood types, et cetera. So she just called me on the phone one day, and she said, hey, you won't believe this. I said, what? She said, on my lunch break, you know, a couple weeks back, whatever, I went upstairs and they tested me out, and they said, I match you. I could give you a kidney. I'm like, no way. Wow. She's like, yeah, they said I could give you a kidney. So to speed up 2 more years, now we in 1998, and my wife, she gave me my first kidney transplant.
Wow, man.
Yeah, my wife gave me my first, and we still together today. We've been together 34 years.
Man.
That's awesome, man.
You don't look like you're 34 years old, dude.
Right. I just turned 50 last month, March 4th.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you, my brother.
So really quickly, like, just speak to like that process. I mean, you're used to, you know, people that are on dialysis for a long time. Like, how rare is that, what he's talking about?
Yeah, very rare. I mean, they are getting better at matching people, but I mean, the process is just strung out like over years, man. Like, it's a blessing that you have somebody get tested, because basically most of the time they just wait. They just wait to see if somebody matches with you. And a lot of times people are asking family members and stuff now, and that's a common thing now. But a lot of times they don't match up, or, you know, there's other things in the way.
Man, so, all right, you get one, right? Most people wait a long time to get one.
Yeah, 8 years.
So how did two or three come? Like, first of all, how did, like, what happened that made you need to get a second one? And then what was that process like?
Well, I found out that what happened during the course of me getting shot, subsequently going to jail, all kind of simultaneously within like 6-7 months, that I had something called polycystic kidney disease. And it's just a slow deterioration of your kidneys, that my dad, I didn't mention, my dad was on kidney dialysis when he passed away. So they said usually it skips a generation, but it didn't. It went from him and I had it, right? So I don't know if me getting shot sped up the process, because I did have acute failure because of getting shot, but they never ever kicked back in. But they do, you know how they do biopsies and tissues research. They said it was because of the polycystic kidney disease. So that was kind of like something that probably was going to happen to me later down the line. But I think that my incident getting shot kind of sped it up. And that's kind of how I ended up on the dialysis machine. And then I got the transplant from my wife in 1998. That was my very first transplant that I had. And that transplant lasted me all the way. I remember I went back on dialysis 2007, March 12th, because I remember they wanted to put me on my birthday week and they said, no, we'll give you 7 more days. So I went on that next, I think it was a Monday, like March 12th. And that was, I was back on dialysis again, because that kidney, it only lasted like 8 years, 9 years. And they just kept looking at the labs and they were like, your creatinine's getting high and BUN and all this stuff is out of whack. We see you having, you know, 7-8 more months with this kidney, you know. And back then, this was so early in dialysis that they weren't doing a lot of things like they do now. Like right now I'm on a bunch of steroids and I'm on some medicine called Belitacept, some infusion shots called Plasmabob. They didn't have all of these things to try to save kidneys. It was almost like, look at the labs. Labs say that the kidney's failing. We give you 8 months, right? So that was my first situation, getting the kidney failing in 2007. Went back on dialysis for the second time, March 12th, 2007. And I stayed on dialysis all the way until October 2016. That's when I got my second kidney transplant at UC Irvine. Now, this is where the story gets interesting. Usually when you have a kidney transplant, you develop high antibodies. It's like a country that's used to having wars. That second, that third war, they're more war ready. So they kind of standing on the front line, they're soldiers, right? And that's how your antibodies do. Once your body has been invaded by a transplant, like any kind of organ transplant, you have these high antibodies in your body that's just going to reject anything put in your body at this point. Wow. At like a very progressive level. So in 2016, in October, when I went to University of Irvine Medical Center to get my second transplant, they seen that the antibodies were high, but the transplant had came like so fast. I had just started going to this nephrologist. They were working me up. They were just, you know, putting me back on the transplant list, because at this time I didn't have another donor. So I imagine they thought, like I thought, that it would be some time, but the kidney came up like 9 months. So they called me and we were kind of in a predicament. And the predicament was, when you have these high antibodies, you should go through a process of desensitization. And the way they do that is they do it through something called plasmapheresis. They use this thing called IVIG, intravenous immunoglobulins, which are basically like immunosuppressants to suppress your antibodies. And plasmapheresis is almost like they take some of your plasma out and they take the antibodies out and they give it back to you like dialysis, but it's called plasmapheresis.
Right.
And basically what they're doing when they transplant you, they want to have your antibodies at an all-time low. Being that the kidney was there, it was ready, and they said, listen, we got a kidney match for you. It just came up by the grace of God. Do you want a transplant? We don't have time to do the desensitization because that takes like 3 to 4 weeks or even longer, depending on how your antibodies react. So we all agreed, let's do the transplant. So we subsequently did the transplant. The transplant worked for maybe 4 months.
Wow.
And it rejected.